chapter, one chapter following the other, and that'll be setting us up for the verses that we want to look at in the biblical text. We have some of these already printed up in the outline. Any more without our outline tonight? Before we start the message, I just want to mention a couple of authors. One is J.I. Packer. The book Knowing God is probably his most popular book. About 500,000 of these have been sold, but he's got newer ones out, Rediscovering Holiness and also Concise Theology. J.I. Packer is one of the best writers today in the area of the doctrine of God, man, sin, Christ, the Holy Spirit. He has not written much in the area of the church and prophecy, and that's where we would find our greatest disagreement. But he's very solid in these other areas that I have mentioned. Just sound, solid biblical exposition and a tremendous promotion of godliness and holiness in an age in which the church, even the evangelical church, is tending to compromise. This will really put you on track. And then I want to recommend a book. Actually, it's in two volumes. My wife reminded me. The Minister's Library by Cyril Barber. We know the Barbers. They have worked at many different libraries and bookstores. And even if you're not in full-time work, but you're interested in studying the things of the Lord, this book gives some very accurate and concise evaluation of different books, so you can kind of tell what's in there and his evaluation. So this can be very helpful. And here, Pat has both of these volumes here by Cyril Barber, the Minister's Library. Now to our message. Last night we were emphasizing, or let's see, it was yesterday morning we were emphasizing joy as the second fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and tonight we come to peace. And we were mentioning how God, through Jesus Christ, has included us in His will. You may not have a rich uncle, but you have a rich Heavenly Father. And Jesus Christ, in the upper room discourse before He died, included us in His will. Notice this in John 14:27 under capital C there. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. Christ has willed us His peace as well as His joy. And here, of course, we're talking about the peace of God. And you've often heard, maybe since becoming a Christian, the distinction between peace with God and peace of God. And that, I assure you, is a biblical distinction. And the order is such, under A, that we must have peace with God before we can experience the peace of God. So let's talk about that a little bit, especially thinking of Romans 5 and verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace with God is like being born again. It's either 0 or 100%. Half-baked potatoes, but no half-born-again people. Peace of God, it's either 0, you have it not at all, or you have it 100%. That's our position, that's our standing of being right before God. So once we're justified, we have been counted or imputed righteous in Christ, ready to go to heaven. We also enjoy peace with God. Concerning justification, there was a man who had been saved only a short time, but he learned about justification, enrolled in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And he could afford on the simplest clothes, but he had a big smile on his face as he said, you know, I'm all dressed up in the righteousness of Christ, ready to walk in the front door of heaven, and every believer is dressed up, robed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. We don't go in the back door of heaven. God doesn't save sinners by sneaking them in the back door of heaven while the holy angels are singing, holy, holy, holy. We walk in the front door of heaven because we have great boldness. Not in ourselves, but in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ and the perfect righteousness that He has provided for us. So everyone who is justified by faith has peace with God. Christ has provided peace with God for everybody. But only those who avail themselves of it through faith in Christ participate in it. The Berlin Wall came down. What a surprise. So much sooner than anyone ever dreamed. And for the first time, an East German in that communist bloc country could walk over freely into free Europe, Western Germany. But a person could choose to stay in Eastern Germany. They didn't have to walk over. Man can break the sound barrier, but only God could break the sin barrier, the sin wall. And in Jesus Christ, that wall has been broken. So anyone who's willing to trust Him can walk out free, forgiven, justified, and have this wonderful peace with God. Now, occasionally the way Christians present this, they will challenge a person who's unsaved, especially if they're right at the point of checking out of this life, of dying, and saying, Joe or Mary, have you made your peace with God? Ever heard that before? Sure you have. Have you made your peace with God? Now, that is well-intentioned, and what the person says, have you gotten right with God through faith in Christ? That's right. But you know, technically, that has problems. Have you made your peace with God? The reason that has problems is look at Colossians 1 and verse 20. Colossians 1:20, and through Him, that is Christ, to reconcile all things to Himself, having made peace through the blood of His cross. We don't make the peace. Jesus Christ has made the peace through the blood of His cross. We receive the peace that He has made in the person of Jesus Christ. And once we have received that peace, then for the first time, we can begin to experience the peace of God. Peace with God, 100% for the believer. Peace of God, that depends on our daily experiential relationship to Jesus Christ, and that's what we want to look at under capital B. We can enjoy the peace of God after we have peace with God. Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7, just back up one chapter from Colossians 1. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Here it is, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The Philippian believers were already worrying. Paul was not saying, don't you guys start to worry. He was saying, you are already worried. Stop your present worrying and start praying. Stop being anxious and start committing your problems, your needs, your anxieties to the Lord. And as you do that, your worries will be replaced by the peace of God. But you know what some Christians say? Why pray when you can worry? I just kind of like it to be worried. And Christians, don't jump on unsaved people for worrying. What do you expect them to do? They have no other recourse. They've got to do something about their problems, their needs, their anxieties. So of course they're going to worry. Worrying is natural for an unsaved person. It is abnormal for a believer. We have another solution. It's praying and committing our requests to the Lord. Now some Christians will tell you this. They'll say, well, you really ought not to worry about that because there's only a slim chance that that's going to go wrong. My friend, as long as there's a possibility that something's going to go wrong, you've got room to worry. The Bible never presents probability or improbability as the reason for not worrying about something. You won't find that in the Bible. Suppose you go out to the airport. Fellow says, well, we've had trouble working on this plane. We've got several problems and we haven't been able to solve these, but we want to stay on schedule. There's about a 1 out of 100 chance it's not going to make it. Unpack the bag, honey. We're staying on land. Even though the probability of that plane falling may be 1 out of several million as it is with the type of maintenance that they provide, I still pray, don't you, before I leave. Because it doesn't depend on probability or improbability. God looks to us to depend on prayer, putting it in His hand and leaving it there. And once we've committed it to Him in prayer, the problem, the trial, the difficulty may not be removed, but the mind has a fortress divinely built around it to protect it from worry and anxiety, which can be more painful and upsetting than the problem itself. Now here again we have those mixed emotions or mixed situations. Remember how we said it seems contrary that the Lord Jesus would be called a man of sorrows, and yet He's talking about rejoicing? How the Bible can talk about the joy of a believer going into the presence of the Lord, and yet the Bible also talks about we still sorrow, though not as those who are unsaved? Those mixed emotions. And the Lord did the same thing with peace. He said, in Me you might have peace. But in the world you're going to have what? Tribulation, trouble, and trial. That peace is what happens in the fortress of the mind that's guarded by God Himself. Peace that passeth understanding. Because when the unsaved person sees those problems, those difficulties, those trials, he's going to let Satan come along and say, don't just stand there. Panic. Push the panic button. Act in the flesh. Make a bad decision. Well, my friends, there are no panic buttons in heaven. And this is peace that passeth understanding. There are no red telephones in heaven. Grab this when you can't handle it on earth. And what the believer experiences is that wonderful peace coming down from heaven above. Peace that passeth all understanding. When all the circumstances that panic, God says, experience My peace. Now let's look at these two items a little bit further. Don't worry about anything. Do pray about everything. And under Arabic 1 there, we need to be reminded of Matthew 6, 25 through 34. In these 10 verses, 5 times Jesus Christ says, don't be anxious. Now I can't imagine the Lord Jesus forgetting what He said the first time. Why would He repeat 5 times? Worry is so prevalent among humans, even believers, that He repeats 5 times, don't do it. And besides that, I would imagine that when He said it first, don't be anxious, in a matter of seconds, the disciples had stopped and started back worrying again. Worry can be so severe that we even worry about worrying. Listen to this. We're not to be anxious, fretful, worry. Yet this is so often the attitude of our lives. Someone said, I am so loaded up with worries that if anything happened to me this week, it would be 2 weeks before I could get around to worrying about it. Sometimes we make an artificial attempt to cure our worrying by willpower. I won't worry, I won't worry, I won't worry. As another has put it, I've joined the Don't Worry Club. And now I hold my breath. I'm so scared I'm going to worry that I'm worried half to death. So we pile worry on top of worry, and it just works like a vicious cycle in a downward spin to in a panic, frantic situation. And the Lord is telling us, I offer you My peace. It would be so wonderful if the Lord from heaven just said, here's a slice of peace, take this. That would be a wonderful gift. But it's not a slice of peace or the whole cake of peace. He says it's My peace. That's a different kind and quality, isn't it? My peace I give unto you, and I have willed unto you. Secondly, do pray about everything. We must be very honest here because it sounds somewhat simplistic when we say, just take that worry, commit it to the Lord, and there's instant peace that passeth understanding. That's the way it can work. That's the way it should work. But that's not usually the way it does work. And what I'm saying here is, in actuality, we find ourselves in a severe faith struggle. Some Christians even think they're going nuts. They say, you know, I commit something to the Lord, and 5 seconds later, I'm worried about it again. I give it back to the Lord. Then it looks like He's shaking with it, and I go back and take it back. And then I give it back to the Lord. Some of us have gone through that cycle as much as a dozen times or more a day. It shouldn't be, but sometimes it is. And it's not wrong, because if I've taken it back, the only thing to be is to be honest with the Lord and tell Him, Lord, I'm worried about this problem again, my family, with my finances, our relationship on the job, a problem in the local church, and it's burdening me again. And God says, come, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. And we bring it back if it has to be dozens of times. And what we're working with is a faith struggle there. We got instant coffee, instant potatoes, but nobody sells instant faith. Sometimes it takes a while to get there. But keep up the faith struggle. Don't let Satan tell you, stop. If you're carrying the burden, God says, commit it to me, trust also in me, and I will bring it to pass. And there can come that point where you know your hands are off of it. Your hands are out of the pie. God's got it. You release it to Him. And that's when the peace that passeth all understanding shall guard your heart and mind. Don't lose the faith struggle. Don't give up till you've given it to God, released it to Him, and then He gives you His peace. And when you have the peace that passeth understanding, that's no, when you know you've won the faith struggle. Now we can benefit from the peace of God. We had just mentioned the John 14:27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. This peace of God gives freedom from a troubled heart and fear. There's only one other time in the Bible where the Lord Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. It's in the same chapter, John 14:1. And in that case, He said the cure is trust. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God the Father. Believe also in me. That is a claim to deity. Any person who said, believe in me as you would believe in God the Father, would either be deity or committing blasphemy. Jesus Christ was claiming deity. These were not unbelievers. He's not talking about initial faith of salvation. He's talking about trusting Him in a situation that these 11 believers are in with a troubled heart. This is a spiritually troubled heart. And some of us have such a spiritually troubled heart, it'd run the EKG right off the graph. And when you have a spiritually troubled heart, no cardiologist can cure it. No heart transplant will remove it. It calls for the doctor, Lord Jesus Christ. And He says, here's the solution. I want you to trust me as you would trust God the Father, and I will cure your troubled heart. Now, hooked up with the troubled heart is fear. They go together just like salt and pepper. Troubled heart and fear. And we're very subject to this. The greatest man of faith in the Old Testament, Abraham, was told by God, Genesis 15:1, fear thou not, Abraham. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Fear not is the most frequent negative command in the Old Testament. And I think if you count the new in, it would be for the whole Bible. The great apostle Paul was told in Acts 18:9-10, don't be afraid, Paul, here at Corinth. Present the gospel publicly in Corinth. I'll be with thee. No man will lay his hand upon you. I have many people in the city. Can you imagine the great man of faith, Abraham, being afraid? Paul scared to preach publicly? We've got the example here. God saw their heart. They were so scared their knees were playing home sweet home, knocking together. Fearful. Fear thou not, most frequent negative command in Scripture. And the solution for fear is faith in the Lord. If there's little faith, there's much fear. If there's much faith, there's little fear. Believe in me, and you won't have a troubled heart, Christ says. Believe in me, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And when we have that trusting heart, the fear and the trouble is replaced by the peace of God that passes all understanding. Another thing the peace of God, I believe, leads us to do is to live peaceably with others. Blessed are the peacemakers, they shall be called the sons of God. As much as lieth in you, as much as possible, live peaceably with all men. And yet some believers seem to make it a calling from God to be peacebreakers instead of peacemakers. If they're not fighting with sin and Satan, they're fighting with the saints. But they've got to fight with somebody. They're fighters. And God says He has called us to peace. The Lord Jesus has unified us in the body through the Holy Spirit. He has made the peace in the body. So Ephesians 4:3, He tells us, maintain the unity of the body in the bond of peace and love. Don't be a peacebreaker. Be a peacemaker. Now He does say, as much as possible, live at peace with all men. Your family and your friends tell you, you've got to deny your faith in Jesus Christ. That's where you have to draw the line. It's not possible to have peace on that basis. We must obey God rather than men. But as much as possible, live peaceably with all men. Tonight I would like to ask you, do you feel that your life is to some extent bound by certain fears, certain troubles, certain needs? I'm sure that we all do. There could be no better context, hardly, other than heaven itself, than a conference point to use these days as time to see peace and release restored to our lives. We're not talking about playing mental gymnastics. We're talking about doing business with the Lord. You know what those burdens are that you bear. You know the articles you've got in your backpack of burdens. And the Lord Jesus, He can carry them all. He's never overloaded. Folks, the energy crisis is on earth. It's not in heaven. Cast all your care upon Him. He careth for you. And as you present those cares and those burdens to the Lord, win the faith battle. Don't feel guilty when the peace of God that passeth all understanding guards your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. He is our peace between Jew and Gentile in the body. And He has made our peace by His blood on the cross. And I would like to challenge you, if you've never trusted Him, to consider whether or not you have what I call pillow peace. What is pillow peace? Pillow peace means tonight, when you bowl that 190, that you'll be able to lay your head down on your pillow and say, I know I have peace with God. If I were to die tonight, I know that I would go to be with the Lord Jesus and know my only right into heaven is I'm all dressed up in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. You say, but what if I have pillow peace? And a nuclear warhead falls right on my head, blows me to smithereens. You'd wake up in heaven. And other saints say, how'd you get here? You say, I got nuked. But I've got peace with God. I've got peace with God. Once we have that peace of God, then as we continue praying and seeking first His kingdom, the peace of God that passeth all understanding builds a fortress around our heart and our mind. And that's the fort we all need to be in. Let us pray. Father, we just thank You so much as we're looking at our will, our inheritance that the Lord Jesus has left for us. He's willed us His joy. He's willed us His peace. And we just thank You that by simply trusting Him, which a child can do, we can enter into the experience of this joy and peace. Father, all of us have things that trouble us. Personally, in our families, in our local assemblies, in the world. But You tell us not to let our heart be troubled. You tell us to trust You, Lord Jesus. And the desire of our heart tonight is to so trust You that every burden is put in the bosom of our Lord Jesus Christ, who loved us and gave Himself for us. In His name we pray. Amen.